This podcast series features extracts from a hilarious series of live radio programmes broadcast 20 years ago on HRB by me, Vernon Pierce, and one of my best friends, but now sadly late, Brian Starman. In the Grumpy Old Men programmes, we played some of our favourite middle-of-the-road music, interspersed with moans about some of the things in life that annoyed us, plus some amusing and not always politically correct observations on life. Here are some of those observations, which strangely don't seem to have changed much with the passage of time. In this episode, the grumpy old men are moaning about queues, mobile phones whilst driving, barking dogs, and public toilets.
Right, Vernon, come on, let's go for it. What's really been bugging you this week?
Queues. I hate queues at the banks and at the post offices, especially at lunchtime, you know, when you've haven't got the time to queue up. And there's never enough clerks behind the counter, and I know they have to have their lunch break and everything. So, you know, but somehow the customer is there and he wants serving, and they're not providing that service, are they?
And you obviously, it's the length of the queue that concerns you and the nature of the people within it or not?
No, I mean, okay, so I have to queue up with all sorts of other people, and they want to use the post office as well. So anyway, I've been working on ways in which I can avoid this, because I'm not a man for wasting time.
You're not.
You know.
You've obviously got some solutions lined up here. I'm waiting for this.
There's lots of places you can buy postage stamps other than in the post office, because a lot of the people there just want a first-class stamp or whatever.
Right, where else?
Well, you can buy them in card shops when you buy the cards, and sometimes at the checkouts at supermarkets. But also, there's usually a machine outside, so why not buy a £5 book of stamps or whatever?
Okay.
Not all of us can afford to or whatever, or a pound book of stamps. But, you know, if you know you're going to be regularly writing to people, buy a book of stamps in advance. Some people still sort of queue up to pay for their TV licence. Why do it? I pay for mine by direct debit. So I just pay a 12th of the cost of the TV licence every month.
So the cost is spread.
It's spread. And
economic sense.
And the TV licence just pops through the post at the end of the year or whatever, so I never have to go in there. Okay, a lot of people are queuing up to have their pensions, you know, by cash. But why not have it paid into your bank account?
Yes. And I think that's what the government are hoping we'll do, which is okay up to a point.
Yeah. So, and okay, this time, you know, a lot of people want to send parcels at Christmas to their children or relatives or whatever.
You don't have a lot of choice with this, because couriers are expensive.
You do these days. If you've got the internet at home, then you can get online to somebody like amazon.co.uk and you can get them to deliver direct to the person that you want to send them to.
What happens if you haven't got a PC, Vernon?
Exactly. Okay, so you go and see your sons or grandchildren or whatever. Most older people have got children perhaps who have access to computers and so on, but I agree that's only for those who are lucky enough to have access to it. And there's all sorts of other things you can do over the internet these days as well. Car tax, passport, you can get them all. So,
and even check your MOTs and things like that.
Absolutely.
So, documents.
So just think twice about, do you really need to go into that post office?
Good one.
I'll come back and talk about banks as well, and how you can avoid having banks or queuing up at the bank. So, Brian, we were talking earlier about
your queues.
Banking.
Yes, and banking. I can see you're still on this topic.
Yeah,
I
haven't finished with it yet.
Well,
we were talking about
keep
post
it brief.
All right. We were talking about post offices, but what about banks as well? I mean, you queue up. All you want is your money, and they've got it, right? But again, this has annoyed me in the past, but I've got to a point now where I very, very rarely use the bank counter, because I've got the hang of the bank cash machine, the ATM, as they call it. And it really is quite simple, because they've got nice big buttons, and all you've got to remember is a PIN number. And okay, you can pick your birthday or the number of your house, or something that nobody else is going to remember. But so get your money out through the cash machine.
It's secure.
It is, providing you take reasonable precautions about making sure nobody's sort of standing behind you and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think, there's a lot of hype about that in the papers, but, you know, 99% of the time it is absolutely safe.
Because if you go to a place that you know, then you probably feel more comfortable than a strange place.
And a lot of banks, of course, have got ATMs inside.
Yeah.
So if you go inside, there's less likelihood of the machine ever being tampered with and so on.
Well, if I have a choice, I would go inside anyway.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
It's warmer.
And also the sun shines on the screen. You can't see it.
That's right.
But you can not only use it for drawing out cash, but if you have to deposit a check. Again, very simple process. The screen takes you through it, pops out a little envelope. You put your check into the envelope and away you go.
To be honest, if I can cope with it, anybody out there can cope with that system.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm not into IT, really.
And going back to what we were saying earlier about the internet, if you've got access to the internet, or your sons or grandchildren, whatever can help you, there's a lot of processes you can do online. And
like checking current balance, yeah, which may be important.
That's right, yeah, yeah. But also paying credit card bills or whatever. Your credit card bill pops through the post and you go, oh, must remember to pay that. Well, I don't have to anymore because I go online to my internet banking and I say, right, on this day of the month, I want you to pay this much to Bank of Scotland Visa or whatever. Simple.
Yeah, if anybody out there would like to have their own PC, then there's a Help the Aged organisation in Basingstoke, which gives free training, one-to-one, and it's very user-friendly, and they will repeat instructions very patiently over and over again. I've been there, and that's the only way that I've learned to actually use technology.
Because very often you don't actually need to use all the facilities on a computer. No. If you can just learn to sort of just use those things that you need to help you through your daily life, I think that's the
It's the not as complicated as people would like you to believe it is, really.
No, especially if you just tackle one bit at a time.
Yeah.
Like getting the hang of sending emails to your son or daughter in Australia or whatever. Mm. Just concentrate on that, you know, so that you can communicate.
Do you say one bit at a time or one bite at a time?
Oh, you're sharp today. So it's time also for another whinge from Brian.
Well, I don't know. Are we allowed to scream on here? But I'm tempted.
Control yourself.
Mobile phones. Now, I'm going to concentrate on one element of it because they irritate me per se anyway. But handheld mobiles while you're driving.
Oh, that's a no-no. Absolutely.
Well, it's illegal. But you and I observe every day people out there blatantly breaking the law. And the reason, it's a very good reason why we have the law. It's a safety issue, guys. You know, if you're out there and you're steering, hopefully, you're changing gear, possibly, you're indicating, hopefully, and you're talking on a phone. You know, it's a dangerous hazard.
Well, it's been proved to be dangerous. I mean, there was a classic case out on the M3 last year, wasn't there, where a guy ploughed into the back of a girl and unfortunately killed her because he was just distracted. And I think that's the thing. You can't do several things at once. We think we can because we're so clever.
Oh, well,
you know, we can multitask, especially we men, you know.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. You're distracted. You can't do it.
Because I think there's a sufficient distraction because I've had a hands-free phone in the car where it's actually fixed into the car, so I'm not holding it.
Right.
And that's a distraction enough that I found I was instinctively slowing down. That actually told me, hey, Brian, leave it out.
Yeah.
And why people have to keep their mobile phones live all the time, is everybody really that sad out there?
Well, it's like a way of life now, isn't it? I can never be uncontactable. You know, whatever I'm doing, if I'm first in the queue at the bank, going back to that one or whatever, or in front of the doctors.
Or I'm in the theatre.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Or on the golf course.
Really annoys me. Yeah.
Yeah, being a golfer, that really...
But before mobile phones, people couldn't contact you in those situations. No. So why is it now that people have to have them switched on and have to answer them every time they ring?
And I think there's going to be a problem in this particular hospital because with repetitive strain injury, the thumb's with texting.
Yes, that's right, the kids these days.
And the kids do it, you know, even when they don't have a phone in the hand. The thumb is going up and down, up and down, up and down. I don't know how to get across to these people in cars. There's one woman who, I get the Independent newspaper, I hope you realise, being an intelligent guy.
Of course, of course.
And we have very bright people writing in. And this lady suggested that if several people coincidentally observe somebody on a hand phone, that they should all blow their horns and draw attention to them. Now, whether that would work, I don't know, but something has to be done.
You're right. It's a worrying culture change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Vernon, your turn again to have another whinge?
Yes, whinge. You're talking about the sort of noise of life and mobile phones and so on. The thing that annoys me at the moment is barking dogs.
Steady, I've got one.
I know you have, and I'm sure not a culprit here.
Right.
But there are a lot of dog owners who seem to have no consideration at all for their neighbours. And they chuck them out in the garden because they're perhaps too lazy to take them out for a walk or whatever. And the dog needs to obey the call of nature, which animals do. But they let them bark all times of the day or night. And
is there a local thing about this?
Absolutely,
Vernon?
Yeah, I've got one behind me, in fact, owner with two dogs, an Alsatian and a little yappy one. All right,
because your emotion was showing then.
absolutely. I'm seething sometimes. I mean, I like to have a bit of a lie-in on a Saturday morning, a Sunday morning, so I don't want to be woken up at 8:15, 8:30 with the noise of these dogs barking because the owner's too lazy to take them for a walk on the common.
It's intrusive.
But also, they go off sometimes to work and they leave them in the garden all day or when they go out shopping for the day. And I can be out in the garden, perhaps just doing a quiet bit of digging in the borders or cutting the grass or whatever, and these dogs are barking, barking all the time. And as I say, that's what really winds me up. I know dogs like animals, like children, they'll, you know, children will cry and scream at times, but a responsible parent would make sure that the child...
They're trained.
That's right. And I think that's the same with animals.
Well, yeah, it's very easy, or relatively easy, to train a dog out of barking, because all you do is you have something like, which we do with our dog, Barney. He knows that means no, stop it. But there's an element of, I think, cruelty entering in here, that if people are prepared to leave their dogs unattended for several hours on end, then there's a sort of a caring issue here, as well as the barking one, I think.
That's right, yeah. But it comes back to sort of just understanding that your neighbours have got the right to just some peace and quiet, especially in the summer when the windows are open or you're sitting out in the garden reading the newspaper and you want to enjoy, you know, the peaceful sort of outside, don't you? We're all stressed in our lives and the last thing we want is to be wound up by dogs. Perhaps, do you think I'm oversensitive on this one?
No, I don't actually, because even though we're dog owners, we are very aware of other people in the area, and there's a little puppy up the road who actually whines, which I think is arguably worse than barking. And this dog is left out for hours and hours. No, I don't think you're overreacting at all. I don't know, I have to be honest, what the solutions are. I know it's an element of training, but I don't know how you get across to your neighbours. Hey, guys.
Sorry.
Have you heard a word?
Yeah, I have, yeah. And they stop for a month or two and then it all comes back again, you know. But
how about a chunk of meat with a gentle sedative in it?
Oh, that's a bit naughty, isn't it?
How about this for a title, Public Toilets? Now, I am...
Keep it clean.
I'll try it. Well, I wish somebody would. This issue really came up when I was professional, when I was at work, because I used to be on the road all the time, and I had to make appointments to meet people.
You were a tramp.
No, I had a car, so I was a tramp with a car. Thank you, Vernon. And I found that I had to plan my routes to keep these appointments, but I also planned my route so that I knew there was a toilet accessible should I need one. And to be honest, out there, there's only McDonald's and hotels and stores. Mm. There are no public toilets. Mm. One, in condition that you can use them, or two, actually there. And our capital city is arguably the worst place on the planet. And you all know that nature tells you when you need a toilet. You can't say, well, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'll make sure I'm near one.
Yeah.
Nature has his way of sending you the vibes.
Unfortunately, yes.
And I had an embarrassing, almost an embarrassing incident in London because I got this signal from nature and I saw a sign pointing to public toilets. And of course, I dashed at great haste, only to find out these were padlocked and shut up. Now, what does one do? I'll leave that question hovering.
Mm. Okay, that's the, I suppose, question of vandalism. And the issue here is what, Brian? It's you know, are we as a race not taking care of the facilities that are provided for us, or are the authorities not doing their job?
And I think it's a combination of two. I think the authorities have sort of given up because of the vandalism. But I don't know about you, but I would happily pay a nominal fee to use a decent toilet.
Right.
I don't necessarily expect them to be free. So if it costs money to actually have somebody there, an attendant, to look after it, these are basic things of nature.
Yeah.
This is not going to go away, guys.
Right. Well, what about these automated things? I mean, they can be set up and they're, you know, you've got to pay to get inside them. So they're not the sort of facility that are vandalised.
It's all right unless you've got claustrophobia like me.
Right,
and then I just couldn't.
I must admit, I've never used one of those.
I have, and panic because I thought, well, how do I get out of this thing? It's like a capsule. I think the concept is wonderful because it's incredibly hygienic. I don't know if you know this, but once you exit it and the door shuts, the whole interior is washed.
What happens if you're still inside?
Well, it won't happen, Vernon, because you have to be outside. But
would you come out looking flushed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, very droll.
All right, how does this compare with other countries then? Because, I mean, I've been to quite a few countries in Europe and America and so on, and I think we must be the worst in the world, or one of the worst.
Well, I love France, but I think France has some very iffy toilet, probably right. arguably worse than ours.
Do they still have the pissoir in Paris?
Yeah, I think they do. But it's they tend to have ones that the two genders share in France.
Right.
But I think they're far more basic out there. France is not good. Austria's fine. Mm. Austria, the countries like Austria, Switzerland, Italy's a bit iffy. I don't think generally, other than America, the provision's that good.
No, and a lot of countries like Spain particularly, I mean, you have to go into a cafe or a restaurant or a right. bar and ask to use their toilets. And of course, they have a vested interest in maintaining them because, you know, their reputation's on the line, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and they seem to have a more open idea about allowing you in just to use the toilets. Yeah. Over here, I can't go into McDonald's without buying a big burger first.
Yeah, that's you feel of, guilty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and if so, there's another Grumpy Old Men podcast coming up soon.